Hey there, Hoops fans.
How you doing?
It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for another episode of NBA Takedown. I would like to officially welcome everybody listening to a world in which the New York Knicks are NBA champions. Cheer, cry, something in between. I don't really care. I haven't spoken to either of these gentlemen since I was in some sort of state of delirium, and I think they were in equally a state. I don't know what state that was. Jeff, hello, Mr. Johnson. How are you?
My name's not Jeff Johnson. When you talk to me and when you see me from this point forward, address me as champ, bro. Champ. You could call, if you're going to call me by my name, champ got to be somewhere in there. Because as a wise man from Uptown once said, I am not a Knicks fan. I am a Knick. You shitting me? I am a Knick. So please address me as champ.
You look like you wear it well. Like you look like champ.
If you're a Knicks fan, you wear it well because you are a champ.
Man, yeah, we're going to dig into that in a second. I am also here with Sean Hardy. Hello, Sean.
Hello. And yes, you must have been in delirium because you and I literally shared the final 45 minutes of your post-game show, which ended at 9:30 in the morning together. That was me,
yo,
remember?
Can we talk about that? I apologize, Sean. I'm going to be the change I want to see. I'm sorry for cutting you off. Hey. Actually, you know what? No, it's World Cup. I'm South Africa right now. I'm one away. I'm one away for one of three.
Oh, that's your yellow card. I was like, what is that?
Yo, three red cards. Let me not derail. But insane. Yes. Insane. It's like three people, your three starters, fouling out of a game in the first half.
Yes. So they called this game like they were calling it on Karl Anthony Towns in the last couple of games of the finals?
Yeah, I can't wait till we dive into topic at hand. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to say yes. So, John, I spoke to you. Now I was on 3 hours of sleep. I had three more hours of sleep than you when I joined. But, yeah, man, it's great to be an NBA champion. Many people thought this day would never come. I always thought this day would come. I just didn't know how old I would be because, listen, there are people – who have lived and died and never saw the Knicks win the title.
Yeah.
New Yorkers, hardcore New Yorkers. So shout out to them, but happy to speak to you all and dive into today's show.
Jeff, you were about to say something.
I was about to say a lot of stuff. We got to keep going. Because I was going to derail, because I was going to go into the fact of how absurd it is that a team got three red cards in the opening match of the World Cup. It's just insane, but no, we will veer off. So let's get into
that. I'm gonna be that guy. A red card means you did something bad that you were not supposed to do, and your penalty is what?
Bye-bye? Disqualification. So think about it like this. Every foul, there are regular fouls in soccer where you don't accumulate a number. Then okay. The equivalent of a flagrant foul in the NBA would get you a yellow card. If you get two flagrant ones, I think you get ejected from the game, right? Depending on
you get two flagrants. Yeah, two flagrants.
Flagrant points, whether it comes on the same player or two different plays, you're ejected.
Right, you get ejected. That's how yellow cards work in soccer. So if you get two yellow cards, you can get ejected. You could also get a red card off jump for something that's like extremely egregious. For example, if I'm running to try to dispossess you of the ball and I come in with my studs at 90 degrees and I clip you in your chest, I'm out of here.
Got it. All right. I'm thinking about when I keep wanting to call him Derek Harper. It's the fifth time or sixth time. Yes, I know, but I don't know why I keep wanting. That's a compliment, by the way.
Derek Harper. Jamal Crawford erasure too.
Why is it Jamal Crawford erasure?
Because he wore number 11.
Oh.
Which is going to get lost to history. He knows it, which is hilarious.
Yeah. No, that is unfortunate. Anyway, when Dylan Harper tried to take Mikal Bridges' eyes out, would that have been a yellow card or a red card? Probably a yellow card.
No, it's a red.
Yeah, it's a red?
Any contact to the face is a red card.
That's why they don't fight for real.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, what happened with Dylan Harper? I missed that.
It was, okay, so again, I lost the time. Immediately after the Wemby the flagrant that was not called, and that maybe if we were still playing this finals would be retroactively called. The next time down the court for the Knicks, Mikal Bridges got raked across the face by Dylan Harper, and then he fell, and then there was a jump ball.
I know what you thought. Yeah, that jogged me a bit.
Not called at all. And you, how often do you see Mikal Bridges complain about a non-call? I could count that amount of times on one hand.
I do remember that.
We're going to do winners and losers of the NBA playoffs, but because by the time you guys go on again for after school, it'll be after the parade. You guys are going to have a lot to talk about with the parade. So I'm going to ask you now, briefly, before we get to winners and losers, how was the watch party?
Sean?
It was amazing. Shout out to the good people at Penn 6, one of whom you know very well, John.
Was he there?
No.
Oh, okay. I was about to. I've been texting him all, like, the last few days, and I haven't even. My brother, for anybody who doesn't know.
Yes. Shout out to Caroline. Yeah. Shout out to Lauren. Shout out to the whole staff at Penn 6. Shout out to Jeff. Shout out to Sophie. Shout out to Jeremy. Shout out to Sophie's sister who held us down outside. Shout out to Paul the bouncer. It was an experience, and it was everything that you could have wanted. You being there with your fellow Knicks fans, watching the greatest moment of in over half a century, and there were no fights, there were no any shenanigans, anything like that. And then that's when we realized that we were trapped on 31st Street, because if we left 31st Street either direction, we were never gonna come back in.
I heard that it was so lit that by the end of the night, even the AI girls were dancing on the bar.
No soul in their eyes, just smiles. We're just here.
What is there not to be happy about?
We were created to be here. We're not happy to be.
The downside is that, like, no party next year will be as lit unless they win the title again.
Listen, forget next year. No party for the rest of our lives will be as lit as that party was. I'll say this, like, as the ultimate homebody here at Knicks Film School, and like, I'm more of a homebody than anybody I know. I loved being here with my wife, and my Scarlett fell asleep for most of the game and then woke up for the end of it, and she was up for the trophy ceremony and everything. I loved being here with them for that. There was a part of me that, and I never experienced FOMO, and I was like, I wish I was with you guys.
But you know something, John? If I was at home with my son, I would have been like, I wanted to be there. But when I was there, part of me was like, I wish I was home with my son.
Of course, right? Yeah, no, you can't have it all.
So either way,
Jeff, I saw you at some point in the middle of the night,
3 o'clock, 6 hours before you saw Sean.
Yeah, well, I know that. I saw Sean multiple times. Sean in a train station.
Oh, you joined remote.
Yes. We get to that story later.
Yeah, well, what was, when you're thinking about not the game, but the watch party, when you're thinking about it, and you're
not the game, you talk about the watch party.
When you're thinking about it 20 years from now, what's the first thing that's going to pop in your mind?
The emotions that I did not think I would have when I realized what was going to happen. And Sean and I, shout out to Kaz, who was also in there. My wife, Kelly, was in there. Our guy, Said, who we started the first ever Twitter space for the Knicks live from the Mecca. So us being in that spot for game 5 was beautiful. A bunch of other people, good people, regulars from our watch party, newer people. I think Sean, we were all standing in like around each other, but in different parts because it was just rammed in there. I think I realized what was going to happen before a lot of other people, because people were just reacting in their own ways. This was unbridled emotions. that I witnessed from people who are just cheering, and you could see the various levels of sports trauma that have been inflicted on people, where the younger people were just in it and going crazy. And probably the older people were like, it's not 0-0-0 yet. It's not 0-0-0 yet.
So they were like me in the with 3 seconds left, screaming like a madman, don't foul.
No one is you. You are you. You're one-on-one.
I appreciate it. I'm actually honored. I'm like, honored.
You earned that. Hold that. That's on your jacket, and it's a great medal to have. When Mitch grabbed the offensive board and got it out of his hands and got it to Kel OG?
I have already forgotten the sequence of OG had two straight trips to the line. No.
It went like Josh, OG, Kale, OG, or something like that.
I'm pulling. OG, okay, Mitch
Josh,
got
Josh, Kale, OG.
Mitch got the rebound.
OG was last.
And then OG drew the foul. Well,
the last free throws were taken by OG. I know that because he hit the one that
he scored the last point
in
this championship run. When it was like 7.7 seconds left, you're looking about the play by play. It was like 7.7 seconds left. Somebody was going to the line.
Well, no, that was OG. So the
that was the last one, right? Oh, okay.
7.7 left. Yes.
For the last two shots.
For the last two shots, he missed the first. He made the second. It was in reverse order, just so we're on the same page. Mm-hmm. OG last. Prior to that, Mikal Bridges. Prior to that, OG Anunoby. Prior to that, Josh Hart.
I had it. Josh, OG, Kale, OG.
And it was all in the last 30 seconds.
Yes. They grabbed the rebound. They grabbed the rebound.
That was the Hart. By the way, sorry. The Mitchell Robinson offensive rebound was after the Hart miss. So there were three sets of free throws that came after the Mitchell Robinson offensive rebound.
Which was insane. So they grabbed the rebound. OG gets fouled. It's 7.7 seconds left. I watched back a bunch of the videos, the IG stories and the videos that people posted. And Kaz posted a video of that time. Mm-hmm. And he's panning across the room. And I'm there looking at the TV like this the whole time with my hand over my mouth because I realized what was happening. Okay. And I knew worst case OG was going to hit one. And I'd already, I knew that nothing crazy was going to happen. I just knew. I said, at this point, ain't going to be no 4-point play. Ain't going to be no fumble, stumble, bumble. He misses the first free throw. And I'm like, all right, razzle dazzle. Okay. Let's stop effing around. Knocks down the second. When he knocked down the second, I said, wow, they did it. And then they're coming down. Fox passes it to Wemby. I smelt that brick a mile away. It smelt like peach cobbler. He bricks it. When it hits off the backboard and sounds like the fireworks we haven't even seen go up yet in the city, I lost it. Like it was cheering. I broke down, I was crying, and then I was just like euphoric, bro. Like it was a level of euphoria I've only hit a few times in my life. And it felt, I did not know how I'd react when they finally did it, and it did. And that's why I'm not one of these people who cry for the internet. Like, you know, there's people who put on for the internet and put on their tears on the internet for the sake of views. Mm-hmm. I wanted people to see what real crying is about and know that it's okay, especially when you're crying tears of joy. Tears, period. Tears of joy, it's okay. And I wanted to post it because I wanted it recorded that this is how I responded, and I have no shame about it because this was one of the largest and heaviest traumas of any kind that was lifted off of my shoulders.
How can you say that and at the same time be the guy who I'm so envious of because you've never carried the trauma around in the way that I do.
You didn't see it. It's always there. It just was behind the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it's either you get banished for life or the wall breaks down. I built up enough of the wall, and this 2026 Knicks team fortified the wall. like allowed the wall. Like I let the guards leave the wall.
This is good.
I let the guards leave the wall because I knew if it didn't go down, it wouldn't be because of generational heartbreak. It would just be because they weren't the better team. And I can accept that. What I can't accept is you lose and it's some traumatic thing behind it. It's a memory that's going to be seared in my mind forever. But, you know, at the end of the day, I said it, man. Once they went on that run, I said, bro, this is the best team of our lifetime. If there was anybody else, and I told you this, I know you were on for 35 hours. You did a telethon, right? That was not a post game. That was a telethon. Like, proceeds need to go to a charity. You did a telethon, bro. So during your telethon, I told you that the vulnerability is a strength. And if any team that you were going to let vulnerable have that risk to your heart for the greatest reward, it was going to be this team. So once I saw that, I said, bro, 13 straight wins. What the hell am I doing carrying trauma around for this run? What the hell am I doing? They showing you who you are. I would be no better than the Knicks for Clicks Industrial Complex. I would be no better than them. So once I saw that, I said, I'm going to let it go. And then once they did it, part of the reason why I was crying is because I knew the generational trauma would no longer have a hold on me.
Well, that I knew.
Felt so great to know. Me and Sean are in the same frat. I cried like that the day I became a member of the frat.
Aww.
The day I became a member of the Alpha. And for those who know, you know. There's reasons why you cry. And there's reasons why you have those feelings where you thought, I ain't going to do this. I'm not going to make it. I can just quit and give up and walk away and just be who I was before I got here. But because you were dedicated and you persevered and you came back night after night after night after night after night, you finally saw the reward they told you you was going to see. And it was way better than they could have ever imagined. You could have ever imagined and they could have ever explained to you. That's what I felt. And now I know. I know how Thanos felt after he blipped half of the universe and was on his ranch and just looked at the sunrise and the sunset and just said, bro, this is beautiful. I got no more worries. That's how I feel now.
I'm ready to have my head chopped off.
Right.
It's cool.
Your friends ain't coming back.
It's funny.
Deal with the new world.
So two things. One, you talk about you were not worried about the trauma chicanery popping up its ugly head. There were three instances in this postseason run where the Knicks, there was a chance of further Knicks trauma embedding itself. One was the Sam Merrill shot at the end of game one.
Yeah.
Number two was the Wemby shot at the end of game two of the finals. Yep. And then number three was the Josh Hart miss in the whatever it was, 2 minutes left in game four. Any one of those three by itself could have added itself to the list of the finger roll, the Halliburton shot, all that shit. None of them did. Instead, we got one play that was, you know, I heard Bill and Zach on the post-game pod talk about, is it one of the 10 greatest plays in NBA history? It's like, that's in that conversation, you know? And then second thing, and you'll appreciate this as content creators, both of you. It's funny. So you were in a bar for that moment. I was obviously here It was a be careful what you wish for moment for me, because if you would have asked me at any point since I was like honestly like a teenager, and even back then I had dreams of like going into like sports media or whatever, like what's your dream scenario? I would have been like, the Knicks win a championship and like I get to be the voice that talks about it. And so as I'm sitting here and I have my SNY Zoom open and like I have the 30 seconds of reaction, and then immediately I have to catch myself, and I'm like, I gotta sit down, and I gotta ready myself for this, I gotta do the soundtrack and everything. And in that moment, I'm like, man, wish I could have just lived in it. But it was, I'm like, I'm not complaining, but it was to your point, Sean, about like, if you were home, you would have wished you were at the watch party. You were at the watch party, you would wish you're home. It's like there's always something else you want. But that's life. So there you go.
You got what you wanted.
I did. It was very, very cool. I don't know what I said. Hopefully it wasn't too incoherent. All right. So here's how we're going to do this. We're gonna, winners and losers of the playoffs. We're going to kind of go round robin. So as to be fair, we can each take one Knicks-related player or person, and then we'll go through the rest of it.
Just to start it off?
Just to start it off, and then we go from there. And then we could, yeah. So, Sean, I'm feeling generous. You can have the first pick. Your first winner of the 2026 NBA playoffs.
All right, let's get this. Let's get the Knicks out of the way.
I was about to say, we'll get the Knicks out of the way, and then we'll go through everything else.
The biggest winner, because I don't know if he's the biggest winner, but what he's won is not being the biggest loser, and that's Mikal Bridges.
Mm. Whoa!
Mm.
You just took, like, Travis Kelce with the first pick of the fantasy draft. Not this
no,
year,
I didn't.
But, like, a few years
no,
ago.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Justify it. No, first of all, Kelce is, like, a semi-justifiable pick because you get the tight end. Like
right.
for years.
But you do that in the leagues where you know dudes is going to pick the quarterback first and it, they pick the quarterback first and blow up the draft.
No, I'm not saying you just took a kicker. You took the best guy at an important premium position.
Four or five years ago, that was the pick. Travis Kelce, I can't remember, like 21 or 22. It was, you pick him first and you just figure it out.
No, you galaxy brain the rest of your draft because it's like there's five or six great running backs. There's three great quarterbacks. There's 10 great wide receivers. There's only one top level tight end. I'm going to get him. I'm not going to worry about the position. And then I'm going to move on from there. So I think Sean's going to be able to justify it. I'll ask Jeff, would this have been your first pick?
No, okay. It wouldn't have been my first pick. But I like it.
I respect it if he's going the direction that I think he's going, but
you know,
but guys,
I went because funny that fuck them pick shirt has been downstairs in my basement for about like a week
and now I can't
find it, but that would have hung over his head forever. That would have, if the Knicks don't win the title, the first sentence in his obituary would have been the traded five picks in the summer of 2024. Like, I'm old enough to remember 2 months ago, Stephen A. Smith just deciding, well, I'm bored, so I'm just going this rant, and just started bashing Mikal Bridges' face in for no reason. Saying
while they were on a winning streak.
Yes. Saying he should be scoring 20 points a game. Like, well, where's the points coming from? Like, everyone, like, you know, like, he, like, listen, I don't know if you, shout out to said that posted in our little while for the Mecca chat, like, Mikal Bridges is on Instagram Live. He was on Instagram Live like an hour ago, drinking tequila, singing, singing.
Chris Persianen texted me, Mikal is listening to Girls Dem Sugar from Beanie Man on IG right now. And he's texted that to me because I introduced Chris to Beanie Man.
Which is hilarious. Yo.
I really F with Mikal Bridges heavy because personality wise, he seems like he would be like a dude that you want to hang out with. Like you just want to hang out with and he's just cool. I saw his reaction post game.
Yes.
Balling his eyes out.
Yes.
That's why I said Sean's pick. I totally get it. He felt that way. He felt that way, and now that weight has been lifted off of his shoulders. I like that picture.
Never has to worry about that shit again for the rest of his life.
Second leading scorer in Game 5, by the way.
You rewatching, like, again, not a big time points total, but like there were a handful of, I mean, basically all of his baskets. Like when they needed a bucket, he got them. There was a runner, like a baseline runner in the beginning of the third quarter.
Yep.
When, and again, that was right not long after Cat went out, and it was like, shit, they have 37 points at halftime. Where the fuck was? How are they going to score? Yeah. So, you know what? You did it, Sean. I commend you. Jeff, you get next pick.
So, there's obvious answers. There's obvious answers. There's so many answers. Which is why they're a generational team and it went on a generational run. And I'm not going to entertain anything else. And you know what? We don't need to anymore. Oh, I can't wait for after school. Ananobi.
You guys are.
He raised his profile he wanted the burden of offensive play. He in Toronto, he said he should have been shooting more. We know here he wanted to shoot more. I don't think he's getting snubbed for awards anymore. I think now he's getting the national OG Anunoby has arrived bump. I think next year he's in pole position for first team all NBA. He's in pole
first
position.
First team all defense. Should have gotten it this
maybe
year.
Maybe I just spoke, but maybe I didn't. First team all defense, definitely all star. And I'll say an all NBA team too. Because he looked like one of the 15 best players in the league this playoff run.
You know, for all the Fakakta awards we have out there, why can't the NBA do an all playoff first and second team?
I think Bill said that. And I'm like, he's right.
If he did, I apologize.
He said it. I think after game four.
But it was at some point he said, okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
And he's right. Like, why can't, oh, because he was talking about like, Finals MVP. It was Bomani Jones.
First and second team for summer league. You can't do first and second team for the playoffs.
They should do that.
It would be easy to apply it retroactively.
Sure,
like to just go through the annals and because we have enough people around at least from 90 to now to institute it. That people were there when it happened. We have enough people to have like an all NBA. And to that point, let's get a third team for a defense.
Well,
we value defense more.
Especially the fact that now that's positionless and people are filling out their ballots with three and four centers on the first team. That's even more, we're going far afoul. But yeah, I completely agree with that. Man, my top two picks are still on the board. So I could just say, since you guys are each limited to only one Nick, I was deciding between Brunson and Mike Brown.
Those were the top two. That's why I said I knew they were easy, so I wanted to go with somebody who, funny enough, I want to give more recognition.
And you know what? Some kind of fucking draft this is that none of us are going to take Jalen Brunson. I'm going to take Mike Brown because I think Mike Brown got into the Hall of Fame this weekend.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Or it's the playoffs. So, like, the last 2 months, whatever it is. I think Mike Brown got into the Hall of Fame over the last 2 months, and I don't think that was... I mean, that was not happening. It does not win a title.
Yeah,
agreed.
Flatly. Jalen Brunson was already going to get into the Hall of Fame. He was already like, that's that. So, you know, obviously does this. And well, now we could just have a brief Jalen Brunson discussion. Like, how much did this elevate his standing around the league, do you guys think?
You know what's funny about that? It shouldn't have had to.
Well,
that's the funniest part, which is why I like the way the draft went, because all three of us here know that he is a constant variable. We don't solve for X with Jalen Brunson. He's given, right? Well, but what I think about...
Man, dropping bars.
What I think about him is now the caveats are gone. Now the doubt is gone. The only guy he gets mentioned with playoff stats is Mike. Every year he's been a Nick, it's Mike and Brunson. They may go down as the top two clutch playoff performers you think about when you think about the playoffs. And then Brunson is rivaling Mike, and that's not a crazy thing to say. It's not. What I think this does is now you can no longer diminish his greatness because he's 6'2 or 6'1 or whatever you want to call him. Now the greatness is what did Tyler say? No lead too big and no guard too small.
Mm-hmm. But as a you want to talk about
ball. That was yeah. I mean put I might get that tattooed on me.
I know Tyler walked away like Ryu after the end of Street Fighter when you beat the game. And he's just like, we're on to a next challenger. He has the duffel bag on. Bro, you know, he knew he could. I'm going to tell you how I knew he cooked. And Tyler, I know you be watching. He said it, and then he leaped back in his chair. I was like, yeah, you caught that. You definitely caught that.
All the respect to Tyler.
At the end of the day, John.
Yeah.
They can no longer limit him by their own limiting beliefs.
No.
Now your belief no longer matters because reality is the constant truth, is the main source of truth with Jalen Brunson. And at this point, it's not about whether or not he's a superstar. It's where he's going to end up on the list.
Yes. I was just thinking of the call. Everything Tyler did was amazing. I couldn't take my eyes off Monica's face.
Someone started chopping onions while I was watching
Monica. Yeah, it was.
And she had a great line also before what Tyler said, where she said, the way a team writes a love letter to a city and to his fans is with a championship. And what did Brian Windhorst say? And this is why I picked Mikal Bridges first, although anyone can go first. Winning a championship means never having to say you're sorry. Jalen Brunson doesn't have to say he's sorry. Mike Brown, Mikal Bridges, Leon Rose.
He could have been a pick too. I mean, I'll give you. I looked up a bunch of Brunson stats last night because I was started writing my newsletter after nine at night when I had 3 hours sleep out of the previous 40. So I was just like, I could barely string words together.
You probably don't remember, Sean. John, sidebar. I joked that I was gonna wake up and you were still gonna be going. You didn't end that pod until a little bit before 10.
Yes, and then I wrote the newsletter, and then my intention was to sleep for 3 hours, and I was up after an hour and a half because I couldn't stay asleep.
I woke up. If I had went on my laptop on my phone, I would have saw you on. I would have shut the stream down from here. Shut the stream down.
Quick Brunson stat. Again, it's a quirky number, but just go with it. Most 38 plus point games in NBA playoff history, Jalen Brunson is now tied for the eighth most with a gentleman I know you guys aren't NBA history aficionados, but gentleman by the name of Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain, eighth most. Wilt Chamberlain, 160 career playoff games. Jalen Brunson, 86, has started 79. The only active players with more 38 plus point playoff games. Active players are LeBron James and Kevin Durant.
Jalen Brunson saved my life.
That's the list. Anyway, okay. Let us, now that we got those out of the way, let's do a round of losers. And then we'll go back to winners and losers and then we'll finish up. Sean, I'll go to you.
Oh, you gave me the low-hanging fruit. You didn't give me the low-hanging fruit, and I appreciate that because Victor Wembanyama is smug, bitch-ass, asshole, prick, sucker, motherfucker. Seriously? Fuck that guy. Seriously. Like, the amount of bail that this clown has been shot for all of his bullshit is insane. I was watching Basketball Illuminati. Shout out to the Count the Dings Network. And they do a thing called Do You Believe It?
No.
No.
Sean, the alien jammed his signal.
Oh, no. He jammed his signal. So I'll just say, while Sean figures out his internet situation here, I was going to ask you guys, I figured he would get taken, but the question I was going to raise is there a justification for, even after the finals he just had with the chicanery, that Victor Wembanyama is a winner of the 2020-26 postseason? And we're not going to make that argument. I do think there is an argument.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think... You can make a logical argument that he is a winner because if you look at what he did, they went from not making the playoffs to the NBA Finals, and he was their best player. And he had a fantastic game one and a fantastic game seven for them. They beat the defending champs. I don't know how, like, if I put all that evidence in front of you, I don't think it's crazy to say he was a winner. Until we get to the NBA finals and his performance in the finals, to where you could say he won overall, but he lost on the biggest stage, and the way he went out is what, to me, tarnishes a little bit of this. And I've seen debates with a lot of the national media about his arrogance and his nasty streak. Do you actually want these type of players being nasty and whatnot? And here's where I land on it. You have a responsibility to comport yourself in a certain way. And if you don't, then you accept the consequences for how you carry, how you move around, the things you say, the things you do on the court. If you're going to be nasty on the court and you're going to be borderline with the physicality, if you're not, if you're going to go in interviews and call teams less sophisticated than other teams and never come out and give credit that a team was better than you, if you're going to walk off the court after you were eliminated on your own home court, in your own arena, and refuse, I won't even say refuse, you just didn't shake hands, you are now creating a villain narrative. There's some people who embrace it. There's others who reject it because that's not the type of people. Think about CJ McCollum.
Yeah.
I'm not a villain. I'm not a villain. I'm just hooping. I know what comes with that. Bro, it's just us versus the Knicks. I'm not a villain. And you saw for the rest of the playoffs, those quotes weren't coming out the same way because he caught himself.
Yeah.
If you're going to be the type of person who is going to assume a certain character profile, if this is your gimmick, then live the gimmick and be unapologetic about living the gimmick and understand there's certain consequences to come with it. And the media also has blood on their hands for exalting this guy and elevating him to best in the world status based on one playoff run because they're eager to make him the next big thing.
Well, I have to defend the national media. In fairness, the conversation about best player in the world by the end of the regular season was a four-person conversation between him, Luka, Jokic, and SGA. Luka did not play in the playoffs because he was hurt, and it's how many playoffs now has Luka missed because he's been injured at the end of the season? Not, you say it's not his fault, but conditioning has been an issue, so whatever. Jokic, extraordinarily underwhelming first-round playoff defeat, and then SGA, extremely underwhelming for six games. And you could say that like Wemby got the best of SGA. Mm-hmm. So I agree the cart was put before ahead of the horse before the finals started. But I also like I understood it from that perspective. Where I come down on Wemby is for all of the antics and all of the chicanery and all the nonsense, I think he could have rescued it all if he had a different post-game presser after the end of game five and got up there and was like, congratulations to the Knicks. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm hurting and this sucks, but they were the better team. They showed us like what it means to be a champion, yada, yada, yada. I learned. And like he gave one answer in French that I read the translation. I'm like, okay, that's like a little better. But then when he, all the other stuff and then how he dipped out was just like, man, so I agree with both. He is a loser of the playoffs.
So yeah. And that's my thing, John. And I see Sean is joining back. If that's who you're going to be, own it. Yeah. I don't have a problem with it. Own it. For what people said about Reggie Miller, he owned all of it.
Oh, he still does.
He lived it to the point where he goes to New York. He's safer in New York now than he was as a player. Remember, you hear stories about how he said he wouldn't eat out in New York. Because he would think people was trying to poison him. But he assumed it. For all we say about, Trae Young. Trae Young embraced it. And that was his gimmick. And he never folded on that. He embraced it. I think part of it, and I got you about the whole, it was justifiable to put him in the conversation for best in the world and elevate him. But then to whom much is given, much is expected. So if y'all are going to put him on that pedestal, don't try to hold it up when he's shaking and teetering and about to fall. He's the one who made the pedestal teeter when he didn't want to shake hands, didn't want to give credit, committing these flagrant fouls and then acting like sacre bleu. I don't know what I'm doing, right? He's the one that did that. He's the one. Don't tell me they're young and inexperienced when y'all said that the East was weak and you wanted to elevate him. And it was a foregone conclusion that the Spurs would win. Are they young and dumb or are they ahead of their schedule? Pick one, because you are the one, y'all are the ones that made it a binary, not us. So now that y'all made it a binary, when everybody's on one side, like, all right, your man didn't come to play. Your man was choking. Your man choked away a few of them games. And now your man don't want to shake hands. That's not on me. I'm following y'all protocol. You see how that doesn't work for the guys that you'd like? But you wanted it to work for the teams that you wanted to slander.
Maybe the monks heard me and decided to shut down my, cut out my entire.
They're very feisty. Getting
started about that.
They're very, listen, we're not going to get to that. We need to move on. I'm going to take another piece of low-hanging fruit, and I will go with Chet Holmgren, who was talk about princes that were promised that went where the cart was perhaps put before. Now, listen, the difference is he's an NBA champion, and he like had a good playoff run a year ago. So it's not, but like, man, he considered himself a rival to Wemby over the years, and to just get kind of emasculated like that on that stage is, and now it's like, what are you gonna do about it? We'll see what he does about it. But that would be my first loser.
Oh, that's a. That's
did
a
he good... consider himself a rival, or did Wemby decide that
maybe
was a rival?
Maybe,
because from what I've heard and read, it's like they played this game in high school. Yeah. Wemby lost and was like, all right, I'm gonna destroy this kid. Like I heard the story that he met like after the hit come out that Wemby didn't like him. At some tournament, Chet Holmgren's mom went to Wemby, said, "Hi, I'm so and so. I'm Chet's mom." And he just goes, "Yeah, I know." Like not giving a yeah. Like this kid actually might be like Michael Jordan in the sense of like making up things in his head to like want to destroy like
oh,
like,
I think
the LeBradford Smith thing. But back to Chet. Yeah, Chet has to this summer. Listen, this can go one of two ways. This can go the Dirk Nowitzki route, or it can go the Ben Simmons route. And both of them are on the table.
But it's like he was in the discussion for like, is he one of the 10 best, most like untradeable players in the league, you know, slash 10 like best players in the league, like for right up until the playoffs. And now here we are. Jeff, who's your top first loser?
I'll leave some of that fruit on the floor. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
The galaxy brain strikes again.
And I know why.
Oh, I think I know why too.
You know, I didn't want to go anywhere. I love Milwaukee. We win the championship there in 2021. I think if we make a few moves, we'd be right back into contention. But I really like New York. See it in the summer. I have a house. We go to a museum. Everybody sees me. They say, "Hi, Giannis." I say, "Okay, you know, my people are there." And now they win the championship. Like the Pope is coming down there on Thursday. They don't want me. They're going to keep their cat. And now I'm in the doghouse. So where am I going to go? They're sending me to Miami. They're going to send me to Boston. I don't even know if Greek people are in Boston. I don't know where I have to go, but I can't stay in Milwaukee. So now there is no losing. There are steps to success. But now I think there is a lot of steps to losing too.
Can I ask a question, Jeff?
Yes.
Is Giannis the loser or are the Milwaukee Bucks, who have one less potential suitor in the market, a loser?
They'll get something good.
They could have.
Yeah, I can see that. Like that whole Giannis, the Giannis verse with this trade. It's like a Jamaican, French, and Greek accent in a fight. Yes, exactly. Yes. That's exactly what it is. I appreciate you knowing me and knowing backgrounds. Yeah, because I was going. Well, I won't say it unless y'all will go on a pick. I don't think any of y'all were gonna pick him. But anybody who's involved in that universe of trade talk, I think is a loser at this point. Is a loser of the playoffs. Because that that includes somebody that I'm not going to say. I'm not gonna. I don't want to take it if y'all are gonna green pick him. But
all right, let's do this. Let's go with one more positive round, and then we'll finish off with all the losers. Sean, give me a winner here.
Another winner. Part of me wants to say,
well, don't say it if it's not the one you're gonna pick.
It has to be your pick.
Go to Jeff. Go to Jeff.
Pick a winner, Jeff.
Dylan Harper.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, missed two free throws, but yeah.
But I mean, his profile, he's going to get the young pass for missing those free throws, which I agree with. Because, hey, you had vets quietly. The Knicks missed three free throws in that final 30 seconds. That could have been, you want to talk about being pissed off. That could have been it. That could have been the reason why they lost that game. So it was high pressure. And dudes was out there smoking it, so I'm not even going to give Dylan Harper. I mean, Stephon Castle has been a ice cold killer. He was missing free throws in that game. That's when I knew it was a different level of pressure. But you want to talk about somebody who has elevated their profile to the point where they want to send their starting point guard to Pelican Bay? I think he's gotten a lot of good press, and like the future is bright, yada, yada, yada for Dylan Harper. Like people want Dylan Harper to start next season. Oh, they wanted him to start in this series.
Did you catch the Vassell next season? Did you catch the Vassell quote after the game?
No, what'd he say?
Oh, yeah.
He was asked, I think it was a general question about the rookies, Harper and Carter Bryant.
I forgot Vassell is not a rookie, by the way.
What's that?
I'd be forgetting Vassell came in. He was with RJ's class.
He's a
class.
Vet, man. Obi's class.
Obi's class, excuse me. Oh, right.
This was the guy that Nick should have.
Right.
Shout out to Obi. We love Obi, but Nick should have taken him. No, he was basically like, he said, like, Dylan Harper didn't, you know, where there were times where he was unhappy with his role this year.
Oh, that's where the reporting came from. Yeah. That's where that started. Okay, yeah, I saw that.
All right, I'll take an easy one. I'll take Tyrese Maxey. I know he got swept out of the second round, but that's, I don't think anyone's putting that on him. And he is continuing to acclimate himself as like one of the young up and coming stars in the league. It was between him and another East lead ball handler, but I'll take Maxey.
Yeah, I mean, no one's gonna batter Maxey for that series because they ran into a juggernaut. Excuse me, the juggernaut Knicks. I will take, and I'm going to go off the board here because I'm going to go with Anthony Edwards.
Ooh.
Because you can say, you know what? If that guy wasn't on one leg, things might have been different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And listen, they went to six with him on one leg.
Yes. Is Anthony Edwards more of a winner or is Julius Randle more of a loser?
Ooh.
I don't take any pleasure in saying that. I swear.
No,
I do not take any pleasure in saying that, but it was a rough, it was not the best.
This was like a make or break playoffs for Randle too, because he had one good one, one bad one, and then was injured. So it was like the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
He just rough at the wrong moment, man.
Yeah. I mean, tough competition, but like, that's why, like, what the Knicks did was so impressive because, you know, they never let Wemby's defense overtake their overall offensive game plan. Like they did at times, but it never got them rattled, and they always kind of figured out ways around it to their credit. I thought Zach Lowe put it well, where it's like they never let Wemby like intimidate them, which was smart. Okay, let's finish up with some other losers. We could go round robin. If anybody has one at the top of their dome, I have a one that I wanted to just get out of the way. It's my big one that I don't think anyone is going to say. Joe Mazzulla / Mazzulla Ball.
And thank you.
Holy the Boston Celtics. And look, I wanted to be the one to say that because nobody gave Boston, amongst us three certainly, more than me. I was always giving them too much credit. Consistently throughout the entire season, they were my boogeyman, and Joe didn't have a great moment in the first round.
You know it's bad when the president of basketball operation comes out and says we can't do this anymore. And you know, Jeff, that happened. He was like, we have to
Brad Stevens.
We have to think more inside out. They have. And listen, shout out to him for realizing like we cannot keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Brad's smart.
Yeah.
He's on the ball. He knows what's up.
Yeah. So that's a good shout.
What do you got?
Losers. I mean, there's a guy in Cleveland who is extension eligible.
So how does that work now?
I don't know
which guy.
Well, okay. You're right.
The other one is a free agent.
Oh,
one's a free agent.
Hold, Harden doesn't have a option or no? He doesn't have an option.
No,
I think he waived it or he's
okay.
Gonna waive
I'm sorry. Yeah. All right. So, okay, I was getting confused. I was thinking about Harden. I mean, who's the? You're saying Mitchell?
Yes.
Okay.
Because now it's all right. We mortgage our future for you. It didn't work with Garland, although, you know, Garland's injury history, whatever. We brought in James Harden, and to be fair, like, bringing in James Harden to solve your problems, I mean, in the playoffs, I mean, like, God bless you. But, like, he can't necessarily – I've said it for years. I hope he likes black and white. But can you win – and listen – far be it for me to doubt any team winning a championship with a small guard as his best player, but I'll say this: as long as that small guard is in the same conference as you, Donovan Mitchell, I don't know where you're going. So, and again, I believe he's extension eligible.
Do you
this
know how
summer.
Much money his next contract is going to be?
Oh yeah, it's like $300 million.
Talk about money that you might not be dying to pay in a year or two. No, that's a good shout. I would have said Harden is a bigger loser just because of everything that transpired recently, and it was not exactly a great playoff for him. Jeff, you got another loser?
Ooh, I'm scanning and I'm thinking about it. Like you,
I mean, there's an obvious guy that none of us.
There is, but I'm trying not to go obvious. You two already. Well, yeah, you two already. I mean, yeah, De'Aaron Fox, bro. And you want to know. Spurs fans, you want to know what generational sports trauma looks like? De'Aaron Fox, to a lesser extent, has become your Game 7 John Starks. And Dylan Harper is your Ronaldo Blackman, which is crazy. And that reference is to the fact that in Game 7 of the 1994 NBA Finals, John Starks went 2 of 17 from the field.
And 2 of 18.
2 of 18 and 0 of 11 from three-point range. And it really wasn't his fault because his coach decided to ride with him until the very end as his best option. When they had another three-point they had two other three-point shooters that they could have inserted in Hubert Davis and Ronaldo Blackman. And they are still somewhere in that timeline sitting on that bench watching Starks unfold. So I don't blame Starks because he was in there trying to get hot. And as a streak shooter, you think the next one is going to go down. And that was on the coach.
Coach. The rat.
Funny how that works.
Mitch Johnson, not De'Aaron Fox. I'm taking that back.
Why not both?
You know what? Then I didn't know if I could pick one or both. But they will be a tandem. They will be a tandem. So in my story of that, to give you the historic concept of why I'm saying that, it was evident that this was not a De'Aaron Fox series. Yeah, he's hit clutch shots here and there. They don't win game three without De'Aaron Fox. I'll say that. But they don't lose game four if De'Aaron Fox doesn't take that layup. And a lot of other things happened. But if you are the vet on this team, you are supposed to be the one that doesn't make those plays. And I understood his logic in the aftermath, but more prevailing logic, safer logic should have taken over. Like if you're doing your permutations, what is scoring 3 points with under 12 seconds going to really do in the grand scheme?
I mean,
as opposed to taking time off, right? It's on Mitch Johnson. Mitch Johnson stood right beside him, said he's going to have the ball. This is our best player. I don't care about contracts. I don't care about none of that. Dylan Harper was nigh unguardable in that series when he took the ball into the paint, when he drove. That man was incredible in this series. No, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out with that dude. Now, I understand the loyalty to Fox. You can't abandon your players. But this is juxtaposing Mitch Johnson with Mike Brown, who will find an answer and circle through his roster, putting together combinations, stuff you may have never seen before in the regular season or the playoffs, because it ain't about the egos. It ain't about the bread. It's about the ring. And Mitch Johnson had De'Aaron Fox out there looking crazy when he knows that he could have went to a different formation to win the game. So, yeah, I would put them to, because the way De'Aaron Fox has kind of been scapegoated about that is it's a bit nasty. I get it. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. But Mitch Johnson, also a young coach, had the ability to change that. And he did. So, yeah, it's absolutely insane to think. That's what I wanted to remember. De'Aaron Fox, and you got the play-by-play up now. In the fourth quarter, De'Aaron Fox checked in with about, I want to say, 3 or 4 minutes to go. It didn't come out for the rest of the game, right?
I'm looking up right now. So Fox entered the game 50 remaining.
Wait, how much remaining?
And, oh, wait, sorry. With 6 minutes and 50 seconds remaining. Then he checked out.
And then came back in, right? With like 3-something to go.
He check out. Hold on. He was in for the whole second half. Oh, no. And then he checked out. Luke Kornet checked in for him for rebounding purposes with 26 seconds left. So he was in for the last six and a half minutes.
When he came into the game, I tapped Sean. And I tapped Kaz, but I definitely was directing it, Sean. Mm-hmm. I tapped Sean, and Kaz was there. Listen, and I said, De'Aaron Fox just won us a ring.
Yes, you did. I remember you said that. Yes.
I saw the comeback happening. They brought De'Aaron Fox back in, and I said, De'Aaron Fox is about to get us a ring. And from that point forward, I want to say he went like 0-4. He missed that three in the corner, that open three. Mm-hmm. There were plays where they needed a bucket and he did not give him a bucket. I just knew the minute Mitch Johnson said, we are not going to ride the sure thing. We are going to stand by our man. I said, yup. When you stand by your man, you got to fall by him too.
You know,
0-4 down the stretch.
Yep.
You know, 0-4 in the fourth, excuse me.
If I'm going to shoot Mitch Johnson a little bit of bail, it'll be that like, kids, like, what have we said all series? Like, kids make mistakes in these games. So he's like, I'm going to go with the veteran instead of the 21-year-old kid. But the reason why I give Mitch Johnson a loser is not because is you've heard all these stories about how, like, Pop is giving speeches before the game and Pop saying this, Pop saying that. The San Antonio Spurs need to get Pop out of the building. Like, let Mitch Johnson be the coach. You can't be the coach if the greatest coach in your club's history is in huddles, involved in this, involved in that. Yes, can you console him? Yes, and everything like that. But I believe that like it's undermining for to have him to have Pop around in that type of capacity.
I think that's well. I mean, Riley did it with Spo, but Spo's Spo. And LeBron, and we saw what LeBron tried to do, you know, briefly.
But Briley wasn't giving pregame speeches before finals games and things like that. He was just like, he hired him or whatever. And when LeBron went to him, he was like, nah, he's a coach. Go over there. Like Pat stopped coach. Pat was like, I'm the executive. He's the coach. But at least Pat was team president. Pop is, I know he's president emeritus, but he's not running the team.
it'd be interesting to see what how that situation. I'm fascinated by the Fox situation, and I agree with others that I don't see the team that's going to trade for him. I only just want to shout out one last loser, and that's Kevin Durant. has won two playoff series since leaving Golden State.
Is that cool?
I mean, I hope for his sake he thinks it's cool. You know,
is he a Rocket next season?
What other option they got?
There's always one.
Ain't he run out of teams yet to demand trades to?
Okay, I'm gonna pull up the standings.
If you're San Antonio,
oh my goodness,
do you try that?
No, they wouldn't
know any better. You know,
oh, you're saying Fox for Durant challenge trade?
Yeah, I'm thinking about
shit,
it.
Man, you get off. Actually, Jesus.
If you're the Spurs, do you inquire about Donovan Mitchell?
No. You don't. No, I think you were barking up the correct tree at the first place, because Durant's older, obviously. It's like it doesn't do anything to your young core. It gives you a guy next year that, like, hey, you're tired of losing double digit leads in big playoff games. Give the ball to Kevin Durant. At least he'll get you a good shot, you know?
There's a team that could desperately need his user scoring, but it's not going to happen. And it's
Lakers?
A team where, no. Lakers. No, it's a team that was the one seed in the East who had one guy that could do everything. But
They're not going to,
but I'm saying, but you know what? You don't think...
Don't they want to pay Austin Reeves? Isn't that what's going to happen, apparently? Maybe?
Oh, they can give him a...
Well, you know what I say. There's never say never anymore when it comes to that franchise, because people just love to hook them up. Love it. Love it. The downtrodden Los Angeles Lakers. Let's give them a generational talent.
What about Charlotte?
For who?
Kevin. Miles Bridges.
Get Miles Bridges.
Miles Bridges.
There.
No, the Charlotte news, that the only legitimate like rumor that came out this week was that apparently Charlotte and the Kings talked about Sabonis. But like,
I heard about that.
Diabate was like, I'm not like, you're probably not winning a championship if you know Musa Diabate is your starting center, but he was so integral to their, he made them such a part of what made them such a pain in the ass to play. All right, Sean, finish us up. Who's your last loser? Unless you don't have anybody else.
I don't have anyone else. Oh, well, actually, I'll say this. Does it have to be a player or a team?
No, it could be whatever.
The Atlanta Hawks, simply because they...
What'd they do to you?
No. I actually feel bad for them because they lost that series 4-2. They were they gave the Knicks the best fight. And their number one overall pick was catching DNP CDs. And if you're thinking to yourself, like, imagine if we got something. Imagine if you just put Alex Sarr there.
Forget like, that, Castle.
Well, I'm dealing in reality of, like, they were never going to draft a guard when Trae Young was on their team. Like, it wasn't going to happen.
That's on them, then.
That is on them, but it's like, whatever. If they could get anything, because at least at the bare minimum in his rookie year, I mean, he made all rookie first team, I believe. He'll hit some threes, play some defense, and he got nothing. He got nothing. They got nothing out of him. And now they have, you know, I feel like that'd be a Durant team, but what do I know?
He finished second in rookie of the year voting?
Yes. And a year later, playing 2 minutes in first round playoff games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Carter Bryant, who Brunson just scored on him again, is oh my goodness.
We got
Shout out to him though, because he was hitting the one corner three he get a game, he hit that.
A couple good ones here in the chat. My girl Jessica, Jimmy Butler, biggest loser.
Always.
Cat's got a ring and you don't. And then like this one too from Navy Blue. Becky. Our girl Becky Hammond.
Becky's not the loser. The Becky Bandits are the losers.
The who?
The Becky Bandits. The people Becky who have Bandits. Defended that take insist, because again, you can't say Becky was right when the Knicks didn't win the championship but then says Becky is right when the Knicks won the championship. It's the Becky Bandits who spun the block on all of us for 2 years every time they got eliminated.
Every time they got knocked out the playoffs or they lost a consequential game, that clip kept resurfacing. Now when people want to spin the block, we're chauvinists.
Candace Parker also caught L's too. Shout out to Leslie Jones. You got to find that clip. Leslie Jones had Candace Parker on, and Leslie's like, I think the Spurs are going to win. And Candace Parker was, oh, they got Devin Vassell. They got all these young dudes. And Leslie Jones is right. Like, Wemby's great. I'm not. The rest of these dudes, And to her point, she was right in the sense that, Jeff, what we say all the time, if Wemby don't play 44 minutes, they can't win.
Bro.
Yo, that's man.
You want to talk about shooting Mitch Johnson Bell. What did I? I was screaming it. Wemby can't sit. Luke Cornette had a stomach bug or something, and Mitch Johnson was like, "Boy, if you don't get, you better get your ass out there for 4 minutes." Hey, what?
Oh my God!
Hold on.
Can I?
Luke Cornette was a -3 in 10 minutes.
I'm breaking my rule. We're gonna end with this. You know who's a winner of the freaking NBA playoffs? Ariel Huckporty.
Yes.
In the battle of the backup Knicks centers, Ariel took on the Cornette. What was his name? The Unicornette?
Unicornette.
And Huck won.
+4 in less than 2 minutes in a game where the Knicks won by 4.
Wait a minute.
Dude, it's so symbolic. If ever there was anything that was more symbolic of the Leon Rose regime, 55th pick in the draft, you know what? We're going to draft a kid who, when he needs to give us 5 minutes or 4 minutes in a fucking closeout game on the road in the NBA Finals.
55th pick.
Yo, and how about he's also the MVP of the postgame presser.
Oh, boy, he was...
I don't ever want him to leave the Knicks.
That gentleman... That gentleman had himself a time, it seemed.
Really quickly, I looked back and... Because I saw Mitch Johnson was like alternating, like he was trying to like alternate the minutes. I didn't realize Wemby only played 37 minutes last night on game five. And I'm like, that's actually insane.
Mitch Johnson didn't want any of that smoke that he got after game four.
And look at what happened.
But you gotta, honestly, I'm watching the game. I'm drinking rosé. My analysis is like, because I saw like the substitution pattern. I was like, okay. He's trying to keep Wemby fresh, but in my mind, Luke Cornette was playing like a minute and a half. I know he played 10 minutes.
I know the solution. The Spurs should hire Tom Thibodeau as a special coaching assistant to work these boys up to get them to play. We're going to get you to where you play 48 minutes in a playoff game. Frenchie.
You know, it's funny. Nobody played more than 39. That's actually insane.
Look,
that's actually insane. Castle played 32. Dylan Harper,
Castle's bad though.
I mean, he was bad.
He fell off in the last couple of games of the finals.
Harper's the guy you want to talk about here. I mean, the fact that Harper was not playing 40 minutes a night in these games is, as Knicks fans, I think we would all agree that we're happy that we did not have Dylan Harper playing 40 minutes.
He was their leading scorer off the bench with 25 points.
Dude, he was, I'm petrified for what that dude's gonna be,
and he was a -12 for those who indulge in that. But I would have rather him empty the clip. It's a results business in the finals, guys. It's not about regression models and spreadsheets. It's about results, and I would have much rather went out on my shield. If I'm a Spurs fan, you have the 5 titles, so this is less impactful because you believe you're gonna be back.
Yeah.
But nothing is promised. Remember, OKC was supposed to do their run. Remember, the Celtics were supposed to be on their run.
Remember,
y'all are still glazing the Celtics by putting them at the third best odds to remember, win the title next year.
Well, that's ridiculous. Remember Shaq and Penny? It wasn't if, it was when and how many.
That was supposed to be a dynasty.
The Russ, KD, Harden, Thunder. One finals.
That one too. I mean, Hakeem eventually got his two, but when he went with Samson in 86, it was like, oh my God, the league is done. Look at these guys. It's over for everybody else. And it was a decade before Hakeem made it back. So you never know with this stuff. You really just never know. Except that we know. We know the New York Knicks are the 2026 NBA champions. And what a freaking world that is. I love how I said, we're like, let's do a half an hour today. And we've been on here for 75 minutes. We're not done yet or anything. We'll be back next week when there is something to talk about. That's
draft
when I probably
at the end of the month.
Yeah. Draft like
free agency.
So like, I guess is John Horst still running the Bucks?
I don't remember.
I think it's John Horst.
But yeah, listen.
John Horst, you will determine when we are probably doing the next episode of NBA Takedown.
Oh yeah.
Listen, next week, we got the draft next week, free agency after that. I don't know how much summer league we're going to do.
Hey, Diawara FC year two. Big Pac. Big Pac. Yo, the French Connection, FC UK.
Big Pac.
FCNY.
Big Pac. How many? All right, here, we're going to end with this. How many points did Pacome Dottier score in the 2026 NBA playoffs? I need a number from each of you.
15. Four.
Jeff said, wait, hold on. Jeff, you said what?
15.
And Sean, you said?
4. 6. Final answer. 6.
You could pick any single digit number you want. Jeff's getting this. 20 points.
Jesus
Christ. He went crazy in one of the Cavs games and one of the Sixers games. Remember, they got and in the Hawks, I think one of those three super blowouts, he went crazy. Like,
dude,
he ended.
He was 8-16 from the field in the playoffs.
He took 16 shots.
He was took 16 when he shots. Came in. That man was auditioning for a role. He was hitting. There was one game.
Played 40 minutes.
Yeah, there was one game where he went bonkers from the field. And I was like, whoa. That's why I said it's at least 15.
Yeah, man. It's a good call by you. I would have said something closer to Sean. I would have said something. I don't know what exactly I would have said. I would have said something closer to Sean.
I just remember because I was like, who the hell is that?
I know.
Wait, that's Dottier? Going crazy like that?
Yeah. Big Pog. All right, we got to get out of here. What a fun NBA season it's been to talk about. As Sean said, we got more stuff coming up. If you're watching right now and you're not subscribed to the NBA TikTok YouTube channel, you know what to do. Go subscribe to that. But in the meantime, have a great, great week. If you are going on Thursday, and if you're watching this, I would imagine you might be showing up on Thursday. We will hopefully see you there. I'll be there. I know these gentlemen will be there. And all right, that's it. We'll talk to y'all soon. Peace out.